Lincoln's journey to Gettysburg is really what created the speech, intellectual journey, but also a physical journey. He started out in Washington, D.C., with one idea of the speech, one early draft of the speech on paper. But then he, when he got to Gettysburg, he revised it, especially the morning of the speech after visiting the battlefield. And then on the stand itself, when he spoke, he added words and changed words spontaneously, it would appear, so that the speech that we call the Gettysburg Address was really created over the course of several days as a result of this really remarkable intellectual and physical journey.
Now, we think of politicians today as having speech writers, in fact, a whole gang of speech writers that put things together. Lincoln did this, though, on his own.
Yes, Lincoln wrote all of his speeches, almost all everything that went out under his name. In fact, a couple of months after the Gettysburg Address, when it was published, people said, well, Lincoln couldn't have written that. And the White House actually sent out a press release saying, no, Lincoln writes everything that goes out under his name except for a few diplomatic dispatches and a couple of minor things of that sort.
Now, he knew the war had been costly, though he knew it had been brutal. But you say when he visited Gettysburg, did it bring something home to him then? Did he witness something there then that was, that he had not expected?
Yes, I think he did experience Gettysburg in a way that he did not expect. Now, he had seen photographs of the battlefields, of the dead on the battlefields at Antietam and at Gettysburg. Just before going to Gettysburg, he visited the photography studio of his favorite photographer, Alexander Stephen Gardner, and he saw there photographs of Gettysburg, no doubt. But when he visited Gettysburg, he visited the battlefield, and he saw the signs of the battle, the pockmarked buildings from the bullets, the trees that had been, the bark had been injured in the battle, and people were able to point out, and that there were graves still of the Confederate dead were still all over the battlefield, and many of the Union soldier dead graves were still there, too. They had not all been removed to the new cemetery. And so Lincoln knew the battlefield. He knew the sites of the battlefield. He visited some of the iconic places on the battlefield the morning of the speech. And when he went back to his room, he initiated what I think is an unexpected revision, something that brings a new emphasis, a new emotionalism to the speech. And for the first time wrote the words, as far as we know, a new birth of freedom in the Gettysburg Address.
And, of course, the speech is known not only for being powerful, but being relatively a short speech that the president gave, certainly shorter than we're used to with most politicians. Yet he's taking all of these things in and witnessing all of this. It seems to me like he would have a desire in some cases to write much longer, to really expand on what he'd seen. And he did not necessarily do that. He used brevity to bring all of that together.
Well, in part, that's because he was asked to be brief. A few appropriate remarks is what he was asked to give. And he knew, and those around him knew, that he was not the main feature of the day, of course. That was Edward Everett, the great orator, who was going to speak for 2 hours. So Lincoln knew he was supposed to give. He knew his part, and he spoke with people about his part. And he was very concerned about fulfilling expectations at Gettysburg. So he knew his part was relatively restrained. But it's this journey that helps to account, I think, for that brevity in the sense that he added material to, he started out with that text in Washington, and then in Gettysburg he deleted some of that text and added new text the morning of the speech and then on the stand again. So he is fashioning the speech as he goes along, in part to fulfill the expectations of the day, but he's very conscious of what was expected from him.
We're talking with Dr. Martin Johnson. He is an assistant professor of history at Miami University in Ohio, and he'll be giving a lecture at the Lincoln Legacy Lecture Series at UIS coming up. His lecture titled Lincoln's Journey to Gettysburg. I've always wondered if the people who were there that day, did they understand what they were hearing from the president? Sometimes it can be even hard to hear in those settings, but did they really grasp what he was trying to say? Is there evidence of that?
Well, I took a close look at that, and I think everybody experienced the speech in their own way. There's good evidence that some people could not hear him, but there's also very good evidence that some people heard him and believed it was, from them first, a remarkable and a beautiful speech. And what I call the authentic legend of Lincoln at Gettysburg is verifiable. There's evidence in the contemporary record that some people were brought to tears and that Lincoln himself displayed emotion and spoke in a way that many people who knew him well found remarkable and unusual.
Now, he did not always go out to these scenes. I guess what brought him to Gettysburg? What was the reasoning that he chose to make that appearance?
Well, Lincoln, this is the only time, the first time, I should say, in Lincoln's presidency when he left Washington to give a speech or something of that sort. So it was a unique occasion in his presidency. And in part, I believe it was because, as he called it, it was an interesting ceremony. It will be an interesting ceremony, is what he said in a letter of early November, because there would be Edward Everett would be there, this great orator, all the great political leaders of the country would be there. It was believed, it is hoped, that all the Union governors would attend. Now, in the end, there were only about a dozen Union governors, but still. So it was going to be an event, a ceremony, an occasion that would be remarkable and known. And Lincoln also went to Gettysburg in part probably because Pennsylvania was essential for his reelection, and he was working closely with the governor of Pennsylvania. He was working closely with Pennsylvania operatives and other political figures to make sure that Pennsylvania remained in the Republican column in 1864.
And even though he was looking ahead to the election, at the same time, he didn't really treat this speech as a political speech, though, did he?
He did not in the sense that we might think of a political speech, but everything Lincoln said and did during the Civil War expressed his political vision of the necessity of maintaining the Union, of also supporting the administration's policies that were essential for supporting the Union. So things like the draft, emancipation, and these measures, revoking habeas corpus, for example, income tax, these measures were highly contentious at the time. And so when Lincoln at Gettysburg essentially said, stay the course, we have to continue the struggle that we're in to ultimate victory, it was indeed a statement of high ideals and American purpose, but it was also for Lincoln a statement that the Union must be preserved. And Lincoln and those around him believed that the Republican Party, and the victory of Lincoln particularly, was almost essential for the preservation of the Union in 1864.
And while we were talking about people who were in the crowd that day, those who were recording this for posterity, the reporters, people of that sort who were there, did they really get what Lincoln was saying, and did they understand it to be such a momentous speech?
Many of the people who heard Lincoln did consider it to be a momentous speech. It was taken down probably in shorthand by a professional stenographer of the Associated Press. And I think I'm able to identify the reporter who did that. It's not the one that many people have claimed. And then this speech was then telegraphed out to the country. But as soon as it hit the telegraphs, it started to be altered by the process of telegraphy and by reproduction. So there are many different versions of the Gettysburg Address began to circulate almost immediately. But no matter which of those early versions you look at, they all have essentially the same ideas. And friendly newspaper editors across the Union hailed the speech. Opponents, of course, attacked Lincoln. It was usually right along party line, the reaction to the speech.
And you're talking about his journey to Gettysburg. He left Washington. He was on a train. Is there evidence that that is where most of the writing was done, most of the revisions were made?
Well, the train journey is an iconic part of the Lincoln legend. That is a part of the legend that is important for shaping the eventual text, but I was not able to find any evidence that Lincoln actually wrote on the train. I was able to reconstruct the train journey almost minute by minute, and it appears, though, that on the train, Lincoln began to think and talk with the politicians and others as he saw the countryside rolling by, that Lincoln was, in a sense, getting into a frame of mind that helped him think about Gettysburg and the meaning of it, but actual written revisions don't seem likely.